Our gospel reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Hear this familiar story, in familiar ways, but in new ways, about Jesus and Zacchaeus. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." The Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
What are the things that you abide in, that you are connected to, that are so much value to you that you would find it nearly impossible to let go of? What are those things that give you security in life, that you abide with faithfully? One example of children as they are really clinging to things and gaining security in life, you recall I do, and my mom has it packed away somewhere, she hasn't passed it on yet, was my favorite blanket. Children cling to blankets. They abide with them. They gain comfort from them. They gain security from them. And so figuratively or literally, we have blankets or things that give us comfort. Some of that is a real sense of security, and some of that is a false sense of security. Children don't know yet that a blanket won't totally save them, that hopefully there are people around them that protect them, that give them that security, that live and walk with them in all times. Now, as adults, we tend to get all these appendages about things that we abide with our cars, with our homes, with our bank accounts, and we consciously or subconsciously can connect to them in a way of false security, thinking or hoping that they have lasting value. But we know better as Christians. One of the examples of something that I abide with, and sometimes I feel like it's an extra finger, an extra hand, an extra leg, that extra security blanket, is my cell phone. How many of you sometimes just have trouble putting it down? I mean, let's get some true confession on that. Yeah, put two hands on that. It's one of the ways in which we communicate, and then I panic if I can't find my cell phone, if it's lost in the car or misplaced or it's somewhere in the house, and then I ask my wife or a friend to ring it, and then when we finally get it, I'm so glad. My blanket. There's a reality in the ways in which it's one of the tools in which we communicate, but we know that there's no better way to communicate in the goodness of life, in the fullness of life, and all that it has to give us one-on-one, interpersonally, in community, in worship, in fellowship, in the things that are planned or spontaneous in our lives. Beyond cell phones and blankets, it's really in this interaction. And we live in Christ with that. We abide in Christ with that. Now, there was a gentleman named Zacchaeus who was really lost in things that gained, for him, he thought security, but really were false security. He was an extorter of money. He was not just a tax collector. He was a chief tax collector. And he was also skimming the money. If we look at the history of tax collectors and chief tax collectors, not only overly charging the people for support of the the Roman Empire, but to bringing money to himself. And all this was a false sense of security, a false blanket wrapped around him. We don't know all the details of the story as to why he became loosened by that or started to have some inner workings around that as he knew that Jesus was coming. There's mystery that he's approaching, that he wants to get a closer look, and perhaps he wants to hide at a distance, but get a closer look to really kind of come to terms with what's going on in this life of abiding in something that will not be blessed, that will not give him blessing, that will not bless the people. And so he's in that tree, and not only is he seeking out Jesus to see from afar, but we know that Jesus seeks him out. And so there's some mutual abiding that happens. Meaningful, a planting of a seed of lasting, meaningful value, of abiding in Christ. And he doesn't come down from the tree until Jesus invites him to come down to abide with him, that he might abide in his home, and not to just eat with him, but to stay with him, to stay in his house. And I would imagine it was there that he was able to build a relationship with him. Now, when the people see that, before he even gets to the house, they challenge it. This man is going to a house of a sinner? Lest, you know, they forget that they are sinners too, lest that we forget that we are all sinners, that we all cling to things that don't have abiding presence and lasting value in Christ, that cause us to be lost, to be wayward, to truthfully have a void that needs to be filled. And so I believe Zacchaeus had that void filled, of being lost, of needing to be filled by Jesus. They developed an abiding relationship. And Jesus affirms that with Zacchaeus, as Jesus will affirm it with us when we come to abide with him. For in this house, in Zacchaeus' house, he will receive salvation. And we hear that gold kernel in the scripture, for the Son of Man has come to seek the lost and to save sinners. One of the most primary things for Jesus' ministry, everywhere he walked and he went, and he touched and he saw and he was with people, to let go of the things, money or whatever was causing them to fall or sin, and to come to Christ and abide in Christ, who will offer love, who will offer grace, who will offer forgiveness, who will offer mercy, and will never let you go. The relationship is circular and endless. And we don't have to wait till eternity to experience that choice of abiding and remaining in God's abiding love. For God chose Jesus, chose to abide with Jesus, to give Jesus as Son of God to us. As Jesus then, as Son of God, chose to abide with the people and to abide with God's mission of salvation. As we have a choice to abide with others, to offer love, grace, mercy, compassion, to be the embodiment, the incarnation of God's love, the incarnation of Christ, to those like us who are lost and are fallen, have sinned, but we know the power of redemption and we want to offer that same message to others. You see, transformation happens when we receive the abiding love of God and Jesus and from others. As Zacchaeus freed himself, he was unbound. I'll give 4 times of what I have been defrauding the people, giving it back to them, and if necessary, I'll give away other possessions. It doesn't have to be tangible. It could be intangible in our lives. What will you give back to others out of God's unconditional love, grace, mercy, compassion, and how that has filled you, and the filling of it, how it will overflow in giving to others? For others who maybe have climbed away, and they're looking at a distance to watch and see about this Christian thing and about these Christian people. And who are they? Will someone, as I'm kind of tentatively seeking them out, for someone that will receive me and my message of being lost in the center, will they seek me out so that I might have hope? Who out there, in a sense, have climbed away in the trees and they're out on a limb looking and seeking, but they're not quite feeling safe enough because no one's invited them in into the abiding relationships that we know as brothers and sisters in Christ. It's hard when we lose people. When we lose people who model. What I'm preaching about and offering to you this morning is God has worked through me in the discernment of a lens, not the only lens of the scripture passage. That Zacchaeus' story has so many facets and ways in which you individually, collectively can learn from that story and give an abiding love. But when you lose somebody who models that, you think, well, I lose a little bit of myself of being able to abide more fully with others. We honor those saints who have come before us, who model the faith, abiding in God, abiding in Jesus, abiding in others, so that we too would have hope, that we wouldn't have to stay lost, that we wouldn't have to stay empty, that we could be filled over and over again. One of those saints for me, you know, sometimes they say you're lucky if you can count on one hand of your life. Somebody, or those people that you could abide in them with anything and any confidence of trust, of sharing, of listening, and support. Certainly my parents were two for me. One of them is still alive, a living saint, and a saint who has gone on to eternal, my father. But on June 14, 2018, the last day of the annual conference, one of those, I would count on five, but who's counting, was my dear, dear friend, mentor, and colleague. So you may or may not know her, the Reverend Dr. Valerie Stoltz. She was so formative to see things in me that I didn't see in myself. When I was working in those College of Worcester years before my call to ministry and attending Orville Trinity and becoming active in the church, I was somewhat kind of climbing in trees, trying to see at a distance what might be available for me in the church and what God is calling me to do in life and faith with people. And she was one in Christ who sought me out, who saw things that I couldn't see in myself, the way Christ saw things in Zacchaeus that he couldn't see in himself, the way Christ sees something in you. Who was that person, that saint who has gone on before you? She mentored me. She listened to me. She stayed with me. Not only would we grab a coffee or a sandwich of Panera Bread, for this guy who could get lengthy with conversation and deep ideas and questions about life, she stayed with me. She abided with me. And she's gone. Multiple aneurysms, strokes on her brain. She was gone. She's dead. But yet she's not dead. She's alive. But I'm still grieving. We all grieve. If it's a month, it's a week, it's several years for those that have gone on. But hold fast to the faith, because I know, as I offer to the children and I offer to all of you, they never really leave us. Even though it hurts and we grieve for their abiding love for us and our abiding love for them in Christ, they still live with us. We hold that faith. We hold that hope. It's God-centered and it's Christ-centered. And while we can't see the body, we can always know them in spirit. And so there are times in my life when I still hear the mentoring voice, the friend voice, the encouraging voice, the leader voice. Oh my, she could have been a bishop, but she knew that was not her call. In fact, she was nominated to be a bishop, but she said humbly, "That is not my call. That is not my call." So who are the people in your life that really helped you sharpen your call in life and supported and loved and cared for you? She had a saying, and I'll conclude with this. It was mentioned in her obituary, and it's one of the things that I hold on in her life as a saint who lives with us today. God's grace is sufficient for our needs. God's grace is sufficient for our needs. In the best of times, the worst of times, in health and illness, in certainty and uncertainty, God's grace continues to be available to us with whatever needs that we have. And so will you offer that grace? Will you offer that grace to others so that they may know the abiding love of God and Jesus Christ? They may know mercy. They may know forgiveness. They may know the fullness that we know as Christians, as brothers and sisters in Christ. Choose to abide and help others to abide here in this life and forevermore. Amen.